السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى الذي باركنا حوله لنريه من آياتنا إنه هو السميع البصير. صدق الله العظيم. علماء کرام، most respected brothers, our sisters listening in at the madrasa, and tonight we also have Channel Islam live. So all those who are listening over Channel Islam, it is Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's way of getting the message across to people around the world, that Allah Ta'ala makes this type of media available so that people on the day of Qiyamah cannot have an excuse. Those of us who enjoy the radio stations, listening just for the sake of entertainment, then we should be very much conscious of the fact that it is not for entertainment. Deen of Islam is not for entertainment. Those people who are living in remote areas, far off lands, or places where the message of the Quran and the Sunnah was not reaching. So in these times of fitna, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala created these type of means to reach their ears, so that on the day of Qiyamah, nobody can say that I didn't know, I was not aware, I was not told, I didn't have access to the institutions of learning. After that, it is in the hands of those who are running those radio stations that they must project that which is Quran and Sunnah. But whatever is haq, when it reaches the ears of someone, then the intention must be to make amal on that haq. Nevertheless, we have to clear one thing every time that we sit in such kind of programs, that we must not consider this as some kind of great sunnat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam or his companions, that on the 27th night of Rajab they all gathered and then there was a discussion on the Miraj of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and it was considered as having taken place definitely, most certainly, on the 27th night. Now this should not be our belief. If you have to read Zarqani and so many others who have written the biographies of Rasulullah Paak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and deducing from the ahadith of Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasalam, then they will most certainly come to the conclusion that there is no consensus of opinion that the Miraj took place on the 27th night of Miraj. The Miraj took place on the 27th night of Rajab. There is no consensus. In fact, different dates have been given, different months have been mentioned, and different years have been mentioned. All this conveys one point very, very strongly, that whichever night was intended for staying awake in ibadat, extra tilawat, zikr, dua, or celebration, then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gave us very clearly what date that is going to be. For example, if it is Laylatul Bara, then we know it is the 15th of Shaban. Throughout the world they must look for the moon of the 15th of Shaban, and they know that it is the night of Barat, and the virtues have been mentioned in the Hadith Sharif. If it is the night of Eid, virtues have been mentioned of the nights of Eid. Everybody knows that the eve of Eid is going to be Eidul Fitr Eve or the Eidul Adha Eid. In the same way, if we have to look at Laylatul Qadr, the Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned the virtues of Laylatul Qadr. The Quran Sharif mentioned the virtues of Laylatul Qadr, and we are told to search for it in the odd nights of the last 10 nights of Ramadan. Most probably it is within those odd nights, but search in the last 10 nights. And like that, many other hadiths have been mentioned. When it comes to the days, then we are told that Ashura is on the 10th of Muharram. We are told that Eid al-Fitr is going to be after you have completed your fast of Ramadan, and the moon is sighted, it's going to be Eid al-Fitr. But nowhere will you find any book of hadith, authentic book, where a specific date has been mentioned. Yes, it has been said that according to some it is the 27th night of Rajab, but as I said, there are many, many other riwayat. So to discuss the incident of Mi'raj on any other night is equally rewarding, and at the same time, if a person has to stay awake or make some extra ibadat any part of the year, he will be rewarded, including even the 27th night of Rajab. So keeping this in mind, Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wasallam, if we have to speak on Mi'raj, I've always stated that it is one subject where we can go on the whole night, because there are so many different issues that we can discuss. If you have to just list them, for example, first of all, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the condition of the ummah prior to the hijrah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, in what condition they were, what kind of hardships and sufferings they were going through. We are just revising our lesson of Mi'raj. Then when it comes to the Mi'raj itself, all the details that go with it, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the angels that came to take Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam. Where was Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam? What was brought from the heavens? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when he was taken up, then all the other details that go with it, and then all the things that he saw in Jannat, in Jahannam. Now if we have to take each item and discuss, we can go on the whole night. So that is not my intention. You are also quite well aware of what happened in the night of Mi'raj. But just to refreshen our minds and strengthen our iman. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he was going through a very, very difficult and a trying period in his life. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and his companions, we all know what kind of suffering and what kind of torture and what kind of difficulties and hardships they were facing. Anyone who accepted Islam, he was not preparing to be garlanded. Unlike our times, if a person has accepted Islam and he is a well-known personality, so then we have a special function to garland him and talk about his acceptance of Islam. At that time, whosoever accepted Islam, he was in fact preparing to be beaten, to be tortured, to be persecuted. It was no easy thing to accept Islam in the time of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. The munafiqs, they couldn't accept Islam. Especially in Makkah Sharif, there were no munafiqs, because there was such beating, such persecution, such torture of anyone who said or claimed that he is a Muslim. So which munafiq will say there that I'm a Muslim? So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, in the 10th year, which is known as the year of grief, Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he lost his beloved uncle. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam lost his beloved wife, Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam went to Taif. There he was stoned so much that his shoes got filled with his Mubarak blood. Nobody is prepared to listen to him. Nobody is prepared to accept his deen, besides those few who had entered into the fold of Islam, and they were being beaten and tortured and persecuted. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was then taken for Mi'raj. I've just cut it very short, I'm not giving you any incidents. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was then taken for Mi'raj. Therefore, most of the biographers of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Sirah, they all say that it was just prior to Hijrah. And most of them say that it was in the 12th year of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's Nubuwat. So the Muslims were outwardly very weak, but their imans were very, very strong. Their numbers were very small, but Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, his help, his nusrat, was promised, so they had that yaqeen, and they knew that this is a period of trial, a test, and then we will get victory, we will get success. They had no doubt in the words of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam that you will become successful. Allah Ta'ala's nusrat and help will come. When it will come, Allah Ta'ala knows, but it will come. And they had that yaqeen and their faith. And they never deserted Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. I've mentioned this many times in my programs, and for the benefit of those who may not have been here, that if we had been in the company of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, whilst Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was ostracized for 3 solid years, boycotted totally, no food allowed, the time has come when they have to chew the leaves of trees for survival, when they have to chew leather for survival, there's no milk for those little babies. At such a time, if we had been in the company of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, we would have told Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that you are claiming to be the Nabi of Allah Ta'ala, na'uzu billah, and where is that mother, then where is that help? We would have said that you are the Nabi of Allah Ta'ala, you are saying Allah Ta'ala's mother, Allah Ta'ala's nusrat, Allah's help is with the believers, and we are not committing any sins, we are not indulging in any vice, we are not indulging in any evil, in fact we are being persecuted, tortured, because of our Islam and Iman. So where is that help? So we have got nothing to do with Islam, assalamu alaikum, and we would have left. We would not have been able to tolerate and bear the hardships and the tortures. And we would have cast a great doubt on Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, nubuwat itself. That would have been our condition because of the nifaq and hypocrisy that we have in our hearts. But what kind of iman those sahabas must have had? Allah, what kind of iman that they are being boycotted for 3 solid years. So they could have told Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, your du'as are so maqbool. Just one du'a and the angels can destroy all these people here, the enemies. Why is it not coming? They knew that there's a time for everything. After Hijrah, we saw in the battle of Badr, same 313, with no arms, no ammunition, hardly anything, and they routed an army of 1,000, armed to the teeth. The angels came, so Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala was putting them through a trial period. So from this we must take some kind of consolation. Those people who are always saying that I'm doing everything right, I'm talking about the few exceptions, otherwise generally we know which one of us is really doing everything right. And even those people who are saying we are doing everything right, if they have to check all the different departments of their lives, how many things are right? There may be salat in the life, there must be a little bit of zikr, a little bit of tilawat of the Quran Sharif, a little bit of charity, a little bit of service to the poor and the needy. Is that sufficient? What about the relationship with the family, with the children, with the neighbors, with the believers, with the disbelievers, fulfilling all the ahkam of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala? What about the transactions? Are they according to Sharia? Are they according to the teachings of the Quran and the Sunnah? If we check all the different departments, we will never find any one of us really doing everything right. But when they say that we are doing everything right, then why? So then look into the life of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They were doing everything right. So there is a test and trial period. After that, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala opens the doors. Futuhat come. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was going through this very difficult time. And then comes the hijrah. And then comes the miraj. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was in the house of Hani. As Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam comes, there are different riwayat. I'm just giving you the khulasa. As Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam comes, and according to the riwayat, where there were 3, then they said it was Hazrat Mikail alayhi salatu wasalam and Hazrat Israfil alayhi salatu wasalam. But in any case, Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam takes Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam to the Haram Sharif. So this part, there is consensus that the Isra, the journey by night, it took place from Masjid al-Haram to Masjid al-Aqsa, because it is from the Quran Sharif. And if anybody denies that part, then it is kufr. Because Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has mentioned it in the Quran Sharif. Subhanalladhi asra bi'abdihi laylam minal masjid al-haram ilal masjid al-aqsa. And Allah ta'ala commences it with Subhan. That there is no defect, no weakness, no shortcoming. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is all powerful, almighty. He can do whatever He likes. There is no weakness and no defect. And also when there is something surprising, when somebody is awestruck by something unusual, then he says, Subhanallah. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says that, glory be to Allah, who took his servant by night. Glory be to him who took his servant by night. In a little portion of the night. Not even the whole night. And Allah ta'ala uses the word abd. That is the greatest sifat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. That he was the true abd of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. There's so much of hadiths regarding that, there's no time to go into all that. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was taken by night from Masjid al-Haram to Masjid al-Aqsa. Because it was the most distant place known for the ibadat and worship of Allah ta'ala, and that was one of those masjids that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned that you can make journey with a specific niyat. So therefore the distant mosque became Masjid al-Aqsa. Now here the heart of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the chest of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was opened and the heart was removed and it was washed in the water of Zamzam. From this it is deduced that the water of Zamzam has got great significance, that Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam could have brought water from Jannat, but he washed the heart of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in the water of Zamzam. Now those days when we used to talk about this heart removal and washing and replacement, people used to get awestruck and they used to think, impossible. How can it ever be possible? If a person's heart is removed, he's going to die. But with the millions of heart transplants that have taken place around the world now, and the technology having advanced so much, nobody even blinks an eye when he hears about heart transplant. It doesn't cause any kind of doubt in his mind that this is possible. So must we wait for scientific evidence before we are going to believe what the Quran and the Hadith Sharif says? This is our weakness, that we wait for scientific evidence, that until we don't get some scientific evidence, we are not going to believe what Allah and His Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam have said. Whereas the Muslim first believes, the believer believes first that whatever Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasalam have said, provided it has been authentically conveyed to us, then it is haqq, whether we can understand or we cannot understand. Then the scientific evidence is going to support whatever has been said. But it's not that until the scientific evidence is not available, we are not going to accept it. So there is nothing wrong with making investigation and coming up with new theories and new scientific evidence to prove all what has been mentioned. But we should not base all our belief on that scientific evidence, because that evidence can change tomorrow. There have been so many changes in whatever was said in the past. Whatever was mentioned in the past, so many things. Every day you hear of changes. Every day you hear of a new theory. Like one person said, he said that, Molna, I read an article. He said, I suffer from cholesterol. So first I was told that you must eat only one egg a week. Then we were told that now you can have two a week. And the recent one is the article I read, now every day you can eat egg, no problem. That cholesterol won't cause any damage. So every day there is changing. First they said that in the apple, the vitamins are in the core of the apple. Then they said the vitamins are in the peel of the apple. You must eat the peel and the core. So somebody said that now they will come up with something new, that you must throw the apple away, just eat the peel. So there are changes that are happening. So we don't have to wait for scientific evidence. If the Quran Sharif says that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was taken, if the Hadith Sharif says he was taken, we must believe in it. More than 45 Sahabas have mentioned about Mi'raj. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, Hazrat Anas radiallahu ta'ala an, Hazrat Aisha, Hazrat Salama, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Masood radiallahu an, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala an. So many sahabas they have mentioned about Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's Mi'raj. So his heart was removed, it was washed in the water of Zamzam, and it was filled with Iman and Hikmah. Now this too I explained many times, that who could have been a mu'min and a Muslim if Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam did not have Iman? Some people read these type of hadiths and they get doubts in their minds. that his heart was now filled with iman and hikmah. So na'uzu billah, we are claiming that he didn't have iman until then. It doesn't mean that. I gave one example in the past, that the fuel for the aeroplane is not the same as the fuel that we use for those small cars. For those spaceships, they don't use the same. And we know of the modifying of the engines when they are intended for racing on the track. They modify it. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had the highest degree of iman. But this journey that he was going to undertake, this journey was to see Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala with his naked eyes. So that iman and hikmah that was filled in the heart of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was to prepare him to be able to see Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala with his naked eyes, which was not possible for any Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam had requested that he wants to see Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala with his naked eyes. Allah ta'ala said, look at the mountain there, my tajalli will be cast there. If you can bear that, then we'll go further. And he fell down unconscious. So this was filled up so that he may be able to undertake this journey. It was going to be in a very short part of the night, and it was going to be above the seven heavens, and he was going to be brought into the presence of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, after that the buraq was brought. The distance that the buraq traveled, or the speed with which it traveled, that the gaze, how far it falls, that was its first leap. Now all those details you are well aware of. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam came to Masjid al-Aqsa. He was brought there to Jerusalem. There Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam, now in some riwayat you get that the salat was before he undertook the journey, and in some you get that when he returned. By any case, we will take the riwayat that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when he arrived there, then the buraq Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, he tied it to that stone where the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam used to tie their animals, their modes of transport, whether it was camel or horse or whatever it was. And this I explained, that see, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is in the company of Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. He's in the company of Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. The buraq has been brought specially for the transport of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. But yet Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam is tying the animal. Was the buraq going to run away? To teach the ummah the lesson that this is a world of means, so you have to adopt the means. There's nothing wrong with that. Even Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam is adopting the means because he's in this world. So he's tying the buraq. It was not going to run away. So we make use of the means. There's nothing wrong with making use of the means. But our weakness is this: we trust in those means. That after we have tied that animal, then we are convinced that now this animal cannot run away, or it will not disappear. After we have installed our security locks and alarms and everything else, and the sophisticated alarm systems have been used, and everything we have done, after that our trust comes in that, and that now I am safe. All round I've got burglar guards, and I've got alarm, and I've got this, and I've got a security guard, and I've got this, and I've got that. Then what happens? That we just drive out of our garage, and the hijack takes place from there. Or the person on that particular night forgets to put on the alarm. Or in spite of all the alarm systems and everything else, the burglar was one step ahead. He was the one that was doing the installation. So he knows exactly what he did. Or sometimes a tow truck comes and takes away the car. He tows it away. So we must not trust in the means. Our trust must be solely in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. But it's a world of means, so we make use of the means. It is just to give ourselves a little bit of comfort within us. But it is not something that in itself protects. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala protects. So as a Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, just to cut it short, he asked Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam to make the imamat. All the anbiya of the past, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala brought them to the masjid, and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam led the prayers to show that he is Imamul Anbiya. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is the Imamul Anbiya. And also to show that all the religions of the past and all the books of the past, they have become mansukh, abrogated. There is no way out for anyone now to attain salvation and success except following Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's deen. And then there are many, many other reasons. Nevertheless, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when he performed or led the prayers, then Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam informed him, said that these people who are behind you are the 124,000 Anbiya. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when he comes out from there, he was very thirsty. So the Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam presented two things. Presented milk and he presented wine. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam took the milk. As the Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam said that if you have chosen the natural thing and if you had chosen the wine, your ummah would have gone astray. Now there again there's a lesson that the Nabi is an example for the ummah. Whatever the Nabi does, the ummah is going to follow. So the lesson there is for us that what the father is going to do, the children are going to follow. The father, whatever he is going to do, the children are going to follow. They are going to imitate, they are going to emulate. Now if the father doesn't have in his life deen and sharia and morals and akhlaq and etiquette and khawf of Allah Ta'ala and muhabbat and love of Allah Ta'ala, then how do we expect it to come into the children? The children are going to look at the father. I have said on many occasions that how many of us can stand up and say that I am the role model for you, O my dear son. I am the role model for you. That you follow me and you will get success. How many of us can say that? Because if we have to announce that I am the role model and follow me, then one day he will be following to the cinema, one day to the disco, one day to the rave club, one day to some drug den, and someday to some prostitute quarters. How many fathers are going to the wrong places? So will they be happy that the sons also follow in that direction? So therefore Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam here, as Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam said that if you had chosen wine, then your ummah would have gone astray. From there on the Miraj was like a lift. Now this again in those days to explain to somebody was extremely difficult. And now we go into the lift, we press a button and we're on the 100th floor. So it doesn't create any kind of doubt anymore. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's going up was a mu'jiza. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's going up was a mu'jiza. It was a miracle. It was a miraculous journey. So we must believe that it was a miraculous journey. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala sent that lift for Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam goes up. And that is where now the tapping of the first sky or heavens, and Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam is asked who it is. He said, Jibreel, who is with you? Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam. And then all the details that go with it, and the door is opened. There Hazrat Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam sees Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, or meets Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. Now again that doubt, that such distance, how did he go? So those things are again being answered by science. The spaceships and all other fast and extremely fast modes of transport, they are answering those questions. Science will prove all those things which at one time created great doubts in the minds of people. Scientific evidence will prove it. All the mu'jizats of the Nabis of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, you will get scientific evidence to prove it. Then the person will have no more doubt. But as believers, we have no doubt that it was Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's qudrat. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, why did he have to tap? We say that these people are going up above the skies and they don't have to tap any doors, nothing. And here Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is tapping and he must get permission and the door is being opened. So once again we have to understand that the sun, the moon, the stars and everything else that we are seeing in the universe, it is all far, far, far beneath the first heaven. This is all suspended. The moon is only 240,000 miles away. 1.5 seconds time the light reaches the earth. Because light travels at the speed of 186,000 miles per second. Now this is in my school days what I learned. So if any mistakes, I recall that. And also we learned about the sun was about 90 million miles or something, and about 8 minutes it took for the light to come to the earth. Now if such distance, the stars have been discovered, which they say are 80,000 miles away, billions of miles away, millions of miles away from the earth. Now if they are millions and billions of miles away, so when will man ever reach those stars? He hasn't even reached those stars, where is he going to reach the first heaven? So we should not have doubts regarding the speed of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's travel and journey. So there he meets Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam on the second heaven. Again the same procedure is repeated. He meets Hazrat Yahya and Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. Then on the third, Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. On the fourth, Hazrat Idris alayhi salatu wasalam. On the fifth, Hazrat Harun. On the sixth, Hazrat Musa. And on the seventh, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam on the first heaven because he is the father of all mankind. Hazrat Yahya and Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, they were troubled tremendously by the Jews. They were troubled tremendously until Hazrat Yahya alayhi salatu wasalam became shaheed. He was martyred. And Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam also, they wanted to martyr him. And in their opinion, they had crucified him. But Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala saved Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam and raised him up to the heavens. But they wanted to crucify. وَمَا قَتَلُوهُ وَمَا صَلَبُوهُ وَلَكِنْ شُبِّهَ لَهُمْ. They went into a doubt. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is given the indication that they were also troubled. And Hazrat Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam himself said that Hazrat Musa was troubled more than I was troubled. But he made sabr. So Rasulullah s.a.w. showed that these Jews were troubling you. So Hazrat Musa and Hazrat Yahya and Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam were troubled also. Then Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, we know that out of jealousy, his brothers took him and put him into the well. And then all the long story with it, until finally those same brothers, they had to ask Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam for forgiveness. Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam forgave them. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is also being informed via this meeting of Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam that this jealousy that these people have in their hearts against you, because of which they are persecuting and torturing and they don't want to see Islam progress, a day will come when those same people of the Quraysh, of your family, just as his family troubled him and your family is troubling you, Abu Lahab and his wife and so many others of the Quraysh. So you see, the day will come when they will be before you. And that is why Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam also, he told them the same thing, La tasriba alaykum al-yawm. So in meeting Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, there is that whole story before Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Meeting of Hazrat Idris alayhi salatu wasalam, wa rafa'nahu makanan aliyya. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala raised him. And it is mentioned that Hazrat Idris alayhi salatu wasalam had requested that he wanted to see Jannat. And when he was going up, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala ordered Hazrat Israel alayhi salatu wasalam to take his soul there on the fourth heaven. Wherever the death of the person is due, that is where it will come. Then Hazrat Harun alayhi salatu wasalam, Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, and Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, each one of them, in their history, there was so much to be taken as lessons. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam meets them, and then he is brought to the Sidratul Muntaha. The Sidratul Muntaha, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says it is so beautiful that it is impossible to describe it. Whatever ahkam of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala comes first, they come there, and from there it is brought onto the earth. And whatever goes up from the earth comes up to Sidratul Muntaha, and then it is taken up. The transport that was brought for Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam now was the raf-raf. As a Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, who had accompanied Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam told him, now continue the journey with me. He said, if I have to go one hair breadth further, then I will burn to ash. To show the maqam of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, that it was higher than all the anbiya, higher than all the farishtas and malaika. Sidratul muntaha par jo pahunche nabi, Sidratul muntaha par jo pahunche nabi, sar jhuka kar ye Jibril kehne lage. Sidratul muntaha par jo pahunche nabi, sar jhuka kar ye Jibril kehne lage. Ey habibe khuda ab siwa aap ke, isse aage jo jayega jal jayega. Ey habibe khuda ab siwa aap ke, isse aage jo jayega jal jayega. Through 70,000 veils of noor, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was now brought into the presence of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And now something that I have repeated every year and many times, but there is great lesson in it for us. And that is that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam immediately said, At-tahiyyatu lillahi wa salawatu wa tayyibat. All my oral, physical and monetary ibadat solely for the pleasure of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. There was no shay in it for any human being. There was no such thing as for name or fame. There was no riya or show business in Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's amal and actions. Unlike us, that there is such a lack of ikhlas in our amal. Therefore we don't seem to see the noor of our ibadat. Anything and everything we just want to brag about our achievements. Sometimes out of shukr of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, the person mentions, and it is permissible out of tahdis and amat. But we must check into our hearts, is it because of shukr of Allah ta'ala, or do we just want to advertise? So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, every ibadat that I did, every tilawat, every zikr, every service to deen, solely for your pleasure, O Allah. All my oral, physical, monetary ibadat, solely for your pleasure. He's making this presentation to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that everything was for Allah. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in return said, As-salamu alayka ayyuhan nabiyyu wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. As-salamu alayka ayyuhan nabi. Salamati be upon you, O my beloved nabi. Ha, the mahbub and the habib. Allah and his mahbub. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is getting a response. As-salamu alayk ayyuhan nabi. Salamati, peace upon you. Wa rahmatullah, the rahmat, mercy of Allah ta'ala. Wa barakatuh, and the blessings of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam at that stage, at that height, with that closeness of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he does not forget his ummatis. And this was that miraj. The Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam does not forget those ummatis. Hazrat Bilal radiallahu anhu and all the other sahabas who were suffering, and those ummatis that were going to come till the day of Qiyamah, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, As-salamu alayna wa ala ibadillahi salihin. Peace be upon us and on all the righteous servants of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Up till the day of Qiyamah, whosoever is going to come, and he's the righteous servant of Allah ta'ala, he's got iman and amal salih in his life, then this peace, this rahmat and this barakat must be for them also. That means this great gift, O Allah, which you have given to me in the form of rahmat, barakat, I don't want to keep it just within the four walls of my home and in my life. It must be for all the righteous servants up till the day of Qiyamah. Now what a great lesson in there is for us. That all over the world what we are wanting is peace. We want mercy of Allah Ta'ala. We want the barakat of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So if we want those things, then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is saying that it will be for those who are the righteous servants of Allah Ta'ala. We have to become righteous. We have to become God-fearing. We have to have that love for Allah Ta'ala. We have to have that kind of a connection with our Allah. We have to obey Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and become righteous. Then, salamati is for us. Peace will be for us. Contentment, tranquility of the heart. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will give us His mercy. Allah Ta'ala will give us barakat. In our earnings, in our time, in our life, in everything we will see barakat after that. In our homes there will be barakat. In our businesses there will be barakat. And we will also see so much of mercy of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. But if we are not going to become righteous servants of Allah Ta'ala, then how do we expect Allah Ta'ala's mercy and barakat? Because Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is saying, As-salamu alayna wa ala ibadillahi salihin. As Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. And this is what we read in our salat, the tashawud. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam the gift of 50 salat. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was given the last 10 ayats of Surah Baqarah. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was returning. And when he was returning, Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam told him that go back, because my ummah just 2 salat was farz on them and they couldn't make it. Where your ummah is going to make 50 salat? So he goes backwards and forwards, comes and goes until it was reduced to 5, and Allah Ta'ala said, well, this is now the 5 salat, but the reward of it will be for the same 50, whoever will make the 5. So this was the gift. Now there are so many things that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam saw. Just to go through it very, very quickly, because we don't have the strength to sit. We will get tired. So therefore, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, this 5 salat, it is such an important thing. Just the other day I was at one shop to buy something, and the person says that, Mawlana, you mentioned that one thing about salat in that one program of yours. Since that day I'm a 5-time namazi. And what was it? It is the same thing which I'm mentioning now again. Because who knows, somebody else may become 5-time namazi. Said that Rasulullah Paak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, this was a gift that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gave to him. And if you have to look at salat, look at our lives. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, He made us such that we are either standing, we are sitting. If we look at our postures, we are standing, we are sitting, we are bending, we are lying down, we are awake or asleep. So in the 5 postures we spend our time. So if the person makes 5-time namaz, then at least he is showing gratitude for the 5 postures that he is able to make use of. How many people are standing, they can't bend down, and if they are bending down, they can't stand up, and if they are lying down, they can't walk. So the 5 postures, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, if He made it easy for a person, make 5-time namaz to show gratitude. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala created us. Before creating us, He made the means. What we require is food, we require drink, we require clothing, we require shelter, and the 5th thing we require is wife and children. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's 5 gifts, so make 5-time salat. The person at the time of his death, he will have 5 kinds of problems. First of all is his sakrat, after that the qabr, then in the hashar, the pul sirat. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, by means of his salat, it is mentioned in the hadith that his daily bread is made easy, his risk and sustenance is made easy. Allah Ta'ala will remove the azab of qabr for him if he makes 5 salat with regularity and with concentration and devotion. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will cause him to receive his book of deeds in his right hands. He will cross the pul sirat like lightning. He will enter the jannat without reckoning. Now so many different virtues. And then if you have to look at the book of fazail of salat and virtues of salat, then so much of virtues have been mentioned. So much so that the hadith sharif states very, very clearly that something that separates the believer from the disbeliever is salat. Man taraka salat muta'ammidan faqad kafar. And this is what he says. Man taraka salat muta'ammidan. Purposely if the person misses salat, he has committed kufr. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said he has committed kufr. After that we must thank Hazrat Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi and others who made some kind of ta'wil, and they said here the kufr doesn't mean kufr haqiqi. It means that the person has committed an act which is similar to that of the kuffar, that they don't make salat, so this person is not making salat too. However, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Masud radiallahu ta'ala, so many other sahabas and so many great jurists, amongst whom is Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullah alayhi, and then the followers of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullah alayhi are Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullah alayhi, and also Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi. Now read their books, what do they say? They say the person who misses the salat purposely, that means he's purposely missing, deliberately missing the salat. So then he has committed kufr. They said that such a person, don't make his janazah namaz, don't bury him in the Muslim graveyard. I am not saying it, open those books and read it. Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullah alayhi, whose name we take with great respect because he was a great wali, Sardar of the Awliya, but yet he says this, that he has committed kufr. Now look at our lives, how much of salat is neglected, purposely, deliberately, there's no good excuse also. The person is just not concerned. And many, many times the person thinks that he is doing some kind of deen work and he got so occupied that now he can't make Fajr Salat. He was so occupied in deen work that he can't make Fajr Salat. In the month of Ramadan, a youngster tells me that, Maulana, my father doesn't make Salat of Isha. So many times he doesn't even fast too. He doesn't make Taraweeh Salat. But he just waits for a certain program which comes on one of the radio stations at night. And he makes his input. And he offers solutions to the problems of the Muslim Ummah. Every night he sits, stays awake till 11, 12. And then he sleeps again and gets up next day when the sun rises. Now how many homes this is happening? That we are awake till late night. Why? We are listening to the radio station. Dini program. Qiraat, Naat, Nazam. Lectures, talks, discussions. Comes half past 11, 12, midnight. Then we switch it off and we go to sleep. And then we talk about the rise of Islam. But we only rise after the sun has risen. So they say that this person has committed kufr. Hazrat Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah say, arrest them and put them in jail. So I said, if only we had to even practice on Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi's saying, our jails would have been filled. Where are the fathers? They are in jail. Why? Because they didn't get up for salat. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, for every difficulty, every hardship, any kind of problem, even if the breeze was strong, he hastened towards salat. Therefore he was shown on the Mi'raj night that there were people whose heads were being crushed with stones, and then they come back to normal and again they are crushed, and he was told that these are the people whose heads used to become very heavy at the time of Salat. Now our Salat is being neglected for our walimas, our marriages, our businesses, everywhere there is a neglect of Salat. And then those are the people who say that, what can Salat do? Just with Salat what can happen? There's so many other things to be done. Yes, indeed, I agree wholeheartedly, and that is what I also say, that just salat is not sufficient. With salat, there are so many other things that a person has to do. There's zakat also, there's hajj also, there's fasting also, there's fulfillment of the rights of the wives, of the children, of the neighbors, of the society. There is honesty, truthfulness, charity, sincerity. There is zuhad, there is taqwa, there is qana'ah, there is many other things that a person has to do. They have to taking care of the widows, the orphans, the destitute, social work, welfare work. There's so many other things. But we must not say that salat is something insignificant. These are the important things. And these are the things that will bring about the changes in the Muslim ummah. Without that salat, no change will come. Because Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has said that the position of salat in deen is like the position of the head in the human body. Now how many people we have seen that they are deaf, dumb and blind, but they're still living. If somebody has to shoot a person who is deaf, dumb and blind, then he will be arrested and he will be charged for murder and he will be executed wherever they hang. Or otherwise he'll spend his life in prison. Because that person who is deaf, dumb and blind, he is still living. But we haven't seen a person without a head and he is still living. That the person is still living. He doesn't have a head, but still walks about. And if anybody has to shoot him, then they'll be charged for murder. Once there's no head, there's no life. So if 70% of the ummah has got no head in the deen, then in the sight of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, they are lifeless. So then who do we blame after that? When somebody is crushing us here, and somebody is persecuting us there, and somebody is bombarding us there, and somebody bulldozing us there. When the masajid are around us, masjid to bana de shabbar mein, ima ki hararat walon ne, masjid to bana de shabbar mein, ima ki hararat walon ne, man apna purana papi hai, barson mein namazi ban na saka. Years and years go by. The person builds the masjid overnight, gives donation also by the hundreds of thousands and sometimes millions. It's a donation of millions so and so gave. But sometimes that person who gave the million, he doesn't get the tawfiq of making one namaz. And I'm not telling you stories and fairy tales. Just go around the country. Don't go very far, go around the country and go around your neighborhood and look into the masajid in the summer months. When Fajr is 4 o'clock, some places it is just the Imam and the Muazzin. And some places even the Imam Sahib is sleeping. And this is the truth what I am telling you. One brother got a little annoyed when I mentioned one incident, that I went to one town, and in that town one gathering had taken place, where about 25,000 people had gathered for deen. And after a few days I went to that town. So the Fajr namaz, there were only about 9 people there. So I asked the Imam Sahib that only 9 people in the Fajr Salat, and yet there was, this masjid was filled and everybody was like very active in deen. So he said, yes, before we used to have 11, now we're having 10. That means one went less after all that effort. But that is the truth, it's a haqiqat. We will fight for azan, that it must be over the loudspeaker and it must be loud. But when we look into the masjid Fajr time, there's nobody. Therefore Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, Al-Jafa, kullul jafa, wal kufr wal nifaq, man samia munadi allahi yunadi ila salat fala yujibu. Injustice, the person has done injustice. Terrible, very bad. And it is kufr, it is nifaq, hypocrisy, that the person hears the call of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala calling towards salat and the person doesn't make his salat. All of us who live in the vicinity of a masjid, don't we listen to this azan? And not one azan, we listen to half a dozen azans in this area. But if we don't get the tawfiq of going to the masjid, then we must pick up those books of Hazrat Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahmatullah Alayh and others and read what they say about those who deliberately miss their salat and their jamaat. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, this was a gift Allah Ta'ala gave to him. Ya ayyuhal ladina amanusta'inu bis sabri was salah. Seek the help of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala with patience and with salat. It was something to connect us. It is the mirajul mu'mineen. It is the miraj of the believers. Allah Ta'ala gave us salat as a miraj. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's miraj was that he went right up. Aqa teri miraj ke tu lauh qalam tak pahuncha. Aqa teri miraj ke tu lauh qalam tak pahuncha. Aur meri miraj ke main tere qadam tak pahuncha. Aur meri miraj ke main tere qadam tak pahuncha. So this was miraj of the believers, this salat. If we have to discuss salat, we can go on whole night. So brothers, let us make himmat. What is the purpose of getting together on the 27th night of Rajab and listening to miraj of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, but not making the intention of making qaza of those salats which we have missed, and a firm determination that now we will make the himmat and we'll make sure that we make it to the masjid and make salat. People say, no, Maulana, Fajr time nowadays, a lot of hijacking. Yes, but there's a lot of hijacking, even in town during bright daylight. And there's hijacking everywhere. And when there was no hijacking, how many namaz you made in the masjid? Now it's hijacking, but when there was no hijacking, how many salat you went and made with jamaat in the masjid? And who knows that with the barakat of that salat, Allah will save you from that hijacking too. And if hijacking is muqaddar for you and it is going to happen, then it will happen. Whether you come out for salat or whether you come out to go for your business or whether you come out to check something else in the yard. And if something is going to happen, it is going to happen. Even if you are driving a beautiful new car and you can get stuck on the way and something can happen. So don't make these excuses. We will not justify our sins. We must. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, besides that he was shown so many other things, especially those people who are in charge of institutions, they have to be very, very careful with these funds which are coming in. And if they are dealing with orphans, then it is even more important that they should not devour the property and the funds of orphans and widows. Sometimes we are made trustees over this property of orphans and we are unconcerned. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was shown that they are putting embers, burning ember into their mouths, and it is coming out from the backs, and they are told that these people are putting this fire, they were the ones who was devouring the properties of the orphans. There are people who were eating from pots, meat which was stinking, rotten, decayed, terrible stench, and there were other pots of meat which had very good aroma and beautiful meat, but they were prevented from eating that. They are being forced to eat this. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was told that these are the people who had halal wives. Allah Ta'ala gave them beautiful wives, halal wives, they had halal. But they were not satisfied with the halal, they went to those prostitutes. They went to all the haram dens. They committed zina, they committed adultery, fornication. They committed adultery. So this is their punishment here. They are people with huge bellies, and as they stand, try to get up, they fall again. Animals trample over them. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was informed that these are the people who are devouring interest. They are taking interest in your ummah. So this is their punishment now here in the akhirat. People whose lips were being cut with scissors of fire. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was told that these are the people who created division, friction in the ummah. They misled the ummah. People whose, from the sides of their body, flesh was being cut and they were being made to eat that flesh. So that these are the people who should be making ghibat in your ummah. In other words, they were shown different types of people, different kinds of punishment. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is not waiting to punish. Allah Ta'ala does not like to punish. If that was His intention and desire, then He should have created only Jahannam and put everybody into the fire of hell. Allah Ta'ala dearly loves us. Therefore, in the same surah, because we are talking about Masjid al-Aqsa, now if we have to discuss, I thought we'll discuss something about Masjid al-Aqsa, but now it's a bit late. But if you look at the Quran Sharif a little further up, in the same chapter, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala talks about the fasad that the Bani Israel were told that they are going to definitely make fasad twice, and then the punishment that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gave them, that how the people came into the masjids, into their homes, destroyed them, killed their children, and they ran havoc. After the first time again, I'm just giving you the khulasa, I'm not giving you tafsir, or I'm not translating any ayat. And after some time again, when they came right, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gave them again He strengthened them with children, with wealth and with resources and everything Allah Ta'ala gave to them again. And Allah Ta'ala says, وَإِنْ عُدْتُمْ عُدْنَا. And if you are going to return, then we are going to do the same thing too. Again, when they return to their old habits, their old sins and their vices and their evils and their killing of the Anbiya and the rejection of the Tawrat and all the other kinds of sins they started committing, Allah Ta'ala again put over them such tyrants that they destroyed them. They went into the masjid. The destruction, if you have to read in the kitabs, it shocks us. So we must take a lesson from this, that this is Allah Ta'ala's system. That He warns us. He does not want us to go there. If a mother says that, look, don't go to that near that stove, you'll get burnt. Then does it mean that now we say that what kind of mother this? That she's saying, don't go near that stove, you'll get burnt. So it shows the mother wants to burn the child. The mother is warning that child that don't go near the stove, you'll get burned. Stay far away from there. So therefore Allah Ta'ala gave us all those information. That if you are going to do A, B, C, then you are going to end up in Jahannam. But it's not that it is Allah Ta'ala's wish and happiness to put you into Jahannam. Allah wants to forgive. So therefore Allah Ta'ala says that don't do that. Obey Him, obey Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and you'll get saved. Now there's so much more that we can go on. Well, let us make dua to Allah Ta'ala. That Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala save us and protect us from all the fitnas that are around us. And indeed, we should make a lot of dua for the people that are there in Palestine, Jerusalem and other parts of the world. Wherever they're suffering, any Muslim that is suffering, we should not think that they are the only sinful ones or they, because of their sins they are being punished. All of them are not being punished. For many, many of them it is a test, it is a trial. Just as it was in the time of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And we should consider ourselves as the most sinful ones. We should not always just think that because of their sins they are being punished and we are very pious and righteous and God-fearing. Indeed, there's a lot of drink and a lot of alcohol that is being sold by Muslim businesses there. And if you have to go at the time of Salat, then people whose shops are just around there, but they don't end up, I'm talking about a few years ago, that when I went into the shop and I asked him that, why are you selling this alcohol? You are just right near Masjid al-Aqsa and you know that it is haram and you are a Muslim, you believe in the Quran, you believe in Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Then he says, yes, yes, that's true, but I've got to cater for the needs of the tourists. Another shop, and I'm not telling you stories in the masjid, another shop when I went, again same thing, alcohol. So when I gave him the same story, then he told me, he says, no, what I do is, that is just for the tourists. But what happens is that when they pay the money for the alcohol, then I've got a separate till for that. I make them put the money in there. I don't touch that money with my hand. And after that, I separate the cost and the profit. And the profit I give it away in charity. Now look at how Shaitan makes a person think. The profit of that he gives it away in charity. So just as they have got some weakness, we've got many, many weakness. We must look at our weakness and we must make dua for them. Otherwise, if you have to go to Jordan, if you have to go to Dubai, you have to go to the Middle East countries. Jordan has got the Dubai has got the reputation of having the highest liquor sales at the airport. So how can we expect Allah Ta'ala's rahmat and mercy? This is the question. But we don't want to understand. We say that no. Allah Ta'ala promised in the Quran Sharif, His help is for the believers, so He must send down His help. So as if we are going to order Him that you have to do it. We are not going to obey you. Let's make dua to Allah Ta'ala. And there's so much that you can be said about Miraj and everything that happened. Inshallah, if Allah Ta'ala gives life, then some other time. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد مبارك وسلم اللهم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين يا أرحم الراحمين يا أكرم الأكرمين يا غياث المستغيثين يا راحم المساكين يا حي يا قيوم يا حي يا قيوم يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث برحمتك نستغيث
بِرَحْمَتِكَ نَسْتَغِيثُ. اے اللہ ہمارے گناہوں کو معاف فرما. او مائی بلوڈ اللہ, او مائی رحیم اللہ, او مائی کریم اللہ, او مائی موسٹ فورگیونگ اللہ, او مائی موسٹ کمپیشنٹ لونگ کیئرنگ اللہ, او مائی موسٹ کمپیشنٹ لونگ کیئرنگ اللہ, او مائی موسٹ ٹالرنٹ اللہ, او مائی موسٹ بیوٹیفل اللہ, فورگیو ایچ اینڈ ایوری ون آف اس. اے اللہ, وی آر سنفل سروینٹس آف یورز. یا اللہ, وی آر سنفل سروینٹس آف یورز. Day and night we have disobeyed you. We use your very bounties for your disobedience. Ya Allah, the great bounty of sight for your disobedience, the bounty of hearing for your disobedience, the bounty of speech for your disobedience, our wealth for your disobedience, our hands and feet for your disobedience, our heart and mind for your disobedience. Oh my beloved Allah, day and night we have violated the ahkam. Oh my Allah, but you are loving, you are forgiving, you dearly love those who turn towards you. Oh my beloved Allah, we are extending our begging bowls before you. Ya Allah, we are ashamed of the sins that we have committed in our lives. Oh my beloved Allah, we are ashamed of the sins that we have committed. We are not bragging about our sins, we are not justifying our sins. Oh my beloved Allah, forgive our major sins and our minor sins. Forgive the sins that we committed knowingly or unknowingly. Forgive the sins that we committed in the light of day or darkness of nights. Oh my beloved Allah, forgive the sins of our eyes, of our ears, of our tongues, of our hands and feet, of our heart and mind. Ey mere pyare Allah, oh my beloved Allah, oh my Rahim Allah, oh my Kareem Allah, if you have to turn away your glance of mercy from us because of our sins, then who do we turn towards? There is no one else for us besides you. There is no other support for us besides your support. Ya Allah, there is no one else to forgive us besides you. There is no one else to purify our hearts besides you. Oh my beloved Allah, purify and cleanse our hearts. Our hearts which you gave to us for your love and the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have filled our hearts with malice, with greed, with pride, with arrogance, with envy, with jealousy, with evil passions and desires. Ya Allah, clean and purify us. Ey mere pyare Allah, O my Rahim Allah, O my Kareem Allah, if you have to turn away your glance of rahmat, then we will face destruction in this world, destruction in the qabr, destruction in the akhirah. Ya Allah, you took your beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for Mi'raj. Oh my beloved Allah, you showed him all the ni'mats of Jannat. Ya Allah, which you have prepared for the righteous servants. Ya Allah, we do not have that taqwa. We do not have that piety. Ya Allah, your Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam also said, As-salamu alayna wa ala ibadillahi salihin. My beloved Allah, we are not righteous. We don't have the taqwa, we don't have the zuhad, we don't have the qanaat, we don't have the shukr and sabr. Oh Allah, we do not have the ma'rifat and yaqeen. We don't have tawakkul and trust in you. Oh my beloved Allah, our lives are filled with vices and evils. But oh my Allah, that same Nabi of yours, who said, As-salamu alayna wa ala ibadillahi salihin. Ya Allah, he has informed us that something that is dearly beloved to you is the forgiveness of the sins of the sinners when they turn towards you with repentance. Ya Allah, we are turning towards you. Mere Allah, change the condition of our hearts. Change the condition of our lives. Ya Allah, change the condition of our hearts. Fill our hearts with your muhabbat. Fill our hearts with your love. Fill our hearts with the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, give us the tawfiq to make qaza of the salat that we have missed and to be regular with our salat in future. Ya Allah, give us the tawfiq to pay zakat which is due, to go for hajj if it is farz, and to fast in the month of Ramadan. Oh Allah, give us the tawfiq to fulfill the rights of our parents, our children, our brothers and sisters, our wives, our family members, and the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh my beloved Allah, give us the tawfiq to repay to whomsoever whatever is due. Ya Allah, bless us with a life of piety, honesty, truthfulness. Ay mere pyare Allah, O my Rahim Allah, O my Kareem Allah, O my most forgiving Allah. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's miraj took place from Masjid Aqsa. Ya Allah, Masjid Aqsa. Ya Allah, Jerusalem, Palestine. O my beloved Allah. O my beloved Allah. Remove the zulm of the Yahudi. Ay mere pyare Allah. The oppression, the tyranny, the zulm, the injustices that are being perpetrated. O my beloved Allah, assist and help the Muslims of Palestine. Ya Allah, Palestine ke Musalmanon ki madad farma. Assist and help the Mujahideen of Islam. Ya Allah, remove the difficulties, the hardships, the problems that the Ummah is facing. In Chechnya, in Bosnia, in Kashmir, in Afghanistan, in Iraq, and every other part of the world. O my beloved Allah, give hidayat to the enemies of Islam. Open their eyes to the beauties of Islam. O my beloved Allah, if they have become obstinate, and they have made up their minds that they will never ever accept Islam, and they will continue with the torture and oppression and tyranny and persecution, and bombarding and bulldozing, then, O my Allah, shake them like you shook the Aad and Samud. Destroy them like you destroyed Firaun, Haman, Shaddad, Qarun. O my Allah, send gale force winds against them. Ya Allah, cause the plains to crush in the mountains. Cause the earth to quake and swallow them up. O my beloved Allah, make their lives miserable. Ya Allah, create division and disunity among their ranks. Ya Allah, assist and help the Muslims. Ay mere Allah, protect us and save us also from any kind of injustice. Ya Allah, let us not become emotional and do any kind of injustice. Ay Allah, humare hal par raham farma, karam farma. Ya Allah, bless us all with long life, with good health. Whosoever is sick and ailing, wherever they may be, whether they are amongst us or in hospitals or homes or clinics, Ya Allah, bless them with complete cure from all their ailments. Ya Allah, bless them with complete cure from all their ailments. Ya Allah, we are spiritually sick and we are physically ill. May Ya Allah cure us of all our spiritual ailments and physical ailments. Ya Allah, those who are in financial problems, give them plentiful of halal risk and remove their financial difficulties. Ya Allah, those who are suffering depression, give them joy and happiness. Those who are weak, give them strength. Those who are poverty stricken, Ya Allah, give them wealth with barakat. Ey mere pyare Allah, remove the difficulties and hardships of the entire ummah. Ya Allah, unite the hearts of husbands and wives, of parents and children, brothers and sisters, and the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh my beloved Allah, oh my Rahim Allah, oh my Kareem Allah, oh my most forgiving Allah. If you are not going to change the condition of our hearts, then who is going to change it? Hawa wo hirs wala dil badal de, mera ghaflat mein dooba dil badal de. Badal de dil ki duniya, dil badal de. Khudaya fazl farma dil badal de. Khudaya fazl farma dil badal de. Agar ek tu nahi mera to koi shay nahi meri, jo tu mera to sab mera, falak mera zameen meri. Oh Allah, if you are not ours, then nothing will be ours. And if you are ours, then everything will be ours. Ya Allah, make us yours and become ours. Ya Allah, daily janazas are leaving. Daily we are hearing of janazas. Oh my beloved Allah, a day is going to come when we too will part. When we are going to depart. Ya Allah, don't let the angel of death find us in a disco or a cinema or a theater or a rave club or popping drugs in our mouths or a bottle of wine in our hands. Or committing adultery or fornication. Or glued to have some filthy movie. Or stuck on some filthy porn site on the internet. Ya Allah, we don't know when the angel of death will strike. How he will strike. And where he's going to strike. How can we then be so unconcerned. And negligent and indifferent. Ya Allah, hame taqwa wali zindagi ata farma. Give us a life of taqwa. Ya Allah, protect us from embarrassment, shame, humiliation and disgrace. Ya Allah, the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has suffered so much. Ya Allah, let us not be further cause of embarrassment and disgrace for the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ya Allah, that Nabi of yours who tolerated so much persecution and torture, and his companions 3 solid years boycotted and ostracized. Ya Allah, he stands up whole night in prayer, prays for us. In Taif he stoned so much that his shoes are filled with his Mubarak blood. Oh my Allah, how much he was concerned about us. When he is informed that that ummah for whom you cried so much, that ummah for whom so much of your blood was shed, that ummah in all the haram places, that ummah in music a few meters away from your Rosa Mubarak, the ummah watching the filthiest of films in the hotel rooms a few meters away from the Kaabatullah Sharif. Ya Allah, how much of injury and pain we are causing to my beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ya Allah, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, all his life he made duas for us, especially in Hajjatul Wida. My beloved Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam with his 124,000 companions, how much he prayed for us. Ya Allah, bless us with all the goodness that he asked for us. Bless our parents with that goodness, our wives and children with that goodness, and the entire ummah with that goodness. And from all the mischief and corruption and fitnas that he asked for protection, Ya Allah, protect us and the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, especially the fitnas of Dajjal. Oh my beloved Allah, protect the Haramain Sharifain, protect Masjid Al-Aqsa, protect our masajid. Ya Allah, protect all dini institutions, all the works of deen that are taking place, accept it. Ya Allah, bless every worker of deen with ikhlas. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Oh Allah, when the time of our departure comes from this world, take us to Madina Tayyibah, at the Rauza Mubarak of my beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with as-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Rasulallah on our lips. Let our soul come dancing towards you. Let it be the best day of our lives. Bless us with burial in Jannatul Baqi, so that when the winds of rahmat blow over Jannatul Baqi, we may be forgiven. Ya Allah, bless us with the best of dunya and the best of akhirah. Bless us with the best of this world and the best of akhirah. Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala al-Nabi. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa alayhi wa sallim. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wa salamun ala al-mursaleen. Walhamdulillah.